I am a steward, not an owner. Everything on heaven and earth belongs to whom? God. You say, well, wait a minute. I own my house. I got a deed for the land. I got the deed that says I own this bugger. This is mine. Well, let me ask you a question. Was that land there before you were born? You have a little bit of stewardship season to use it. In the end, God owns it all.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. You've heard the old saying, you can't take it with you. When it's your time to go, you're going to leave everything behind. Well, it may be true that you can't take it with you, but today Pastor Wayne is going to show us how it's possible to send it on ahead of time. Here he is with a message entitled, Stewards Are Us.
You're going to have passed out to you an envelope. So would you take one, please? And if you're 11 and over, take one. If you're under, then hang on. Your mom or dad will be with you and you can do it as a team. But everyone take one envelope. One envelope, pass the rest down. The ushers will pick up the remainders on the end. And so just hold it at the end. One envelope. Do not open it. It's sealed. Do not open it. If you do, it will explode on you. We programmed a microchip into it that if you do it prior to my instructions, it will burn your hand. So just put it in your Bible, and we're going to take it out at the end. Okay? We're going to take it out at the end. So right now, just put it away. Put it away. Okay. Now, would you take out your notes with me as we do our finale to our Rhythm of Life series as we talk about stewardship? As you're passing it out, let me tell you about a little story that took place a year ago. Anna and I were in Australia. Having spoken at a church, we were picked up by a lady in her BMW to take us to a restaurant for lunch. There we would meet her husband and a few others from the church. We got into this nice BMW, and lo and behold, in the middle of her console was a GPS system. GPS stands for Global Positioning System that works off a satellite, and it'll tell you where you are, and if you'll punch in your desired destination, it will bring up a map to show you how to get there. It was amazing. Now, we had not seen this stuff. I'm from Hilo. A map in color is new. Just amazing. So not only does this map, she punches in this restaurant, boop, here comes this map. To add to that, a voice, there's this voice chip in there, starts telling her how to get to the restaurant. It says, go to the next light, turn left. So she went, click, she turns left, and I turned around, my wife's in the back seat, and I said, Star Trek, man, this is amazing. She goes a little further, turn right. She turns right. This is just stunning. Now we're going down, and I'm thinking, this guy's just telling her directions. And he said, at the next light, turn left. Now she's talking so much, she goes past that, keeps going. I looked at her and said, you're not going to listen to the man. She said, oh, did I miss something? He said, for you, for turn left. Oh, I missed it. Now, this is a true story. Then his voice comes on and says, at the next light, make a U-turn. Go back. And so she keeps going. I said, you better listen to this guy. She said, oh, I think I know where I am now. So I know a better way, a shortcut. The guy keeps saying, turn around, turn around. She finally turns this thing off. And she says, oh, I know how to get there by now. I kind of know the area. Well, needless to say, we went everywhere looking for this restaurant. Finally, we arrive late. And the husband, as we get to the table, she sits down and he says, what took you so long? She said, oh, I kind of missed some roads. Whatever. He said, don't you have a GPS system on that? She said, oh, yeah, but it wasn't right. And I said under my breath, it's because you never listen to him. And so, listen to the man when he talks. And I thought, the Bible is for us God's GPS system. God guides us by the Bible to tell us when we're off and how to get back on. But like the GPS system in that vehicle, it is useless unless we You gotta listen. And so we're gonna find out today how God uses his Bible to show us in the New Testament a story or a parable of someone who was off, the Old Testament, a story of someone who was on, and then I'm gonna give you some homework to practice knowing the difference between being a steward and an owner. So this is how we're gonna start off. We're gonna start off by punching in our desired destination of where we wanna end up with our hearts, what kind of heart we wanna have. So what I'm gonna do is actually fast forward to our desired destination, which is a prayer that David prays at the end that we'll come to in about 25 minutes. I'm gonna bring it up to the top so that we will see the kind of heart that we wanna develop as David had that may very well be one of the reasons why God said, here is a man after my own heart. So right at the top of your notes, let's punch in the kind of heart that we want to have in the end. Let's read it together. This is a prayer from David. Ready? Go. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord. How much? Everything. Would you underline that? And you're on the earth, so which means if everything in heaven and on earth belongs to him, we as well are his possession. Let's continue. Riches and honor come from you alone. So my riches and honor come from whom? God. Let's continue. For you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand. So the influence that you have and the gifts that you have and the talent, who does that come from? God. Let's continue. And it is at your discretion that people are made great and are given strength. So at his discretion, he passes out the gifts. It's not our deservedness, it's his discretion. The thing that you want to catch out of this, that David is saying, everything belongs to you. Why? Here's what he has caught. The fact that I am a steward, not an owner. Would you write that in? I am a steward, not an owner. Because everything on heaven and earth belongs to whom? God. You say, well, wait a minute. I own my house. I got a deed for the land. I got the deed that says I own this bugger. This is mine. Well, let me ask you a question. Was that land there before you were born? Is that land going to be there after you die? You don't own it. You steward it for a season that you're alive or however long you want. You can sell it. You can make money off it. You can lose money on it, whatever. But it was there before you were born. Somebody else is going to steward it after you die. It ain't yours. You have a little bit of stewardship season to use it. You can squander it or invest it, make money or lose, but basically it ain't yours. That land was there and it's going to be there. And in the end, God owns it all. We are not owners, we are stewards. Now, why does David say that? Would you write in your notes? Because everything I have comes from God. Would you write that in? Everything I have comes from God. The second, everything I have belongs to God. That's what David was praying. Because he caught the heart of what it meant to be a steward, not an owner. And he made that transition. We're going to see how incredible the results are in making that transition. So let's read the first one again out loud. Everything I have. Second, everything I have. So even though it's in my possession, doesn't mean it's my possession. And third, it's at God's discretion that he makes one great and another not so. So everything is distributed by God. And the question or the issue is not how much I have. The real issue is how faithful am I with what I have, great or small. So God does not look at the amount. He looks at the faithfulness of what I do with the amount. That is much more crucial and critical to God than anything else. You see, otherwise, if we think that what God has entrusted to us, we own. He says, no, I just want you to steward it. No, I own it. The mentality of an owner is to hoard for self. And the more I hoard, the more I am worth. Where my net worth becomes my self-worth. Untrue. The mentality of an owner, hoard for self. The mentality of a steward, invest for somebody else. Owner, hoard for myself. Steward, I invest for somebody else. The mentality of ownership is so prevalent in our society today that I look through the Yellow Pages to see how many public storage units there are on Honolulu. Did you know that I flipped through the Yellow Pages? There are 13 full pages in the Yellow Pages for storage units right here in Honolulu. 13 pages. Some of those full page ads. Do you know how expensive it is for a full page ad in the Yellow Pages? 13 of those. I counted them up. You know how many public storage units we have? 65 in Honolulu. Not only that, there are more coming up every day. I was just driving through Mapunapuna. Nearly an acre of land is a huge whole building, four stories, with these little catacombs, tombs in there, where people are going to store stuff because our houses aren't big enough to keep all the stuff we're trying to accumulate. We got to buy space in these little tombs to put stuff in. We figure, I guess, you know, if I can't take it with me, I'm going to put it in these tombs. We're like the Egyptians. Maybe it'll stay there for the afterlife or something. I don't know. Absolutely amazing. 65 storage places in Honolulu. It is such a lucrative business that companies are falling all over themselves to build more so that people can put their stuff and hoard it in there. It's amazing. Why? Because we have the mentality that we're owners, not stewards. Last night after the service, a lady came to me. She was just laughing. She said, that's so true. She says, I own an apartment, and the apartment is, nobody lives in it. It's just filled with my stuff. I said, how long has it been there? Check this, 10 years. She has an apartment, 10 years, just packed with her stuff. And I laughed and I said, you're kidding. She says, you know what the worst thing is? I said, what? She says, most of the stuff I've stored in there is ruined now. It's all puka in the closing. She said, the cork in the shoes that I have stored are all falling off. I said, so you're going to have to throw all that stuff away. She said, yeah. I said, good for you. Because we have to make the transition that we're stewards and not owners, because everything comes from God, everything belongs to God, and God distributes everything. Let's read the scripture under that first one there, which is actually the beginning scripture of the parable that I want to read that tells us of a man that went off the GPS system. Let's read it. Ready? Go. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Would you underline that last phrase? For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. What is God saying? He's saying the amount of things that you own has no correlation with the amount of life that you'll experience. The amount of things you have does not equal the amount of life that you will have. You will not extend your life by getting more stuff. You will not get more security by having more stuff, because if you do, you've got the wrong place where your security lies. Your security does not lie in temporal things. Your security must lie in the eternal God, regardless of what you have. Now, he continues to explain all of this in a parable. Let me read it for you. It'll come up on the PowerPoint. And he told him a parable saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning with himself, saying, what am I going to do since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, I know what. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I'm going to get my stuff and put it in public storage in Honolulu. And there I'm going to store all my grain and all my goods. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up in public storage for years to come. So take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He said to himself, self, I got it made. I accumulated a lot of things. That means I've accumulated more life. I am so excited. And God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you. And now, who's going to own what you got stored in public storage? Answer, not you. Because you die. So is the man who lays up treasure for whom? Himself, and is not rich towards God. So is the man who thinks he's an owner versus being a steward. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Well, I know that, people will say. I know that the amount of life that I'll have is not correlated to the amount of possessions I have. Yes, Jesus says, you might know that, but so many of us live that way anyway. We think that the more we have, the more our life will be. We think we can extend our life by having more stuff. If that were true, and life was correlated or equal to amount of possessions, if that were true, then someone would be dying at Queen's Hospital. And there's a monitor going boop, boop, boop on his vital signs. And as soon as it goes boop, someone runs in with new CDs and another television and keys to a new car. And all of a sudden his body starts to twitch. All the boop, boop. Oh, I'm better now. Thank you for giving more stuff to me. And if you give me more stuff, boop, 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 just keep bringing it in. I could be out of the hospital by tomorrow. But it doesn't happen that way, does it? Otherwise, you'll have somebody in the funeral. People will be crying. And the pastor comes up because his brother died and he's doing the funeral. And the pastor comes, everybody's crying, and he says, if they would have only given my brother Manuel the loan at the bank for the car that he had to have, he'd still be alive today. He needed that car for extend his life more long. And because the loan officer at the bank never gave him the loan, right there, wacky mocky, right on the spot. That don't happen. Because Jesus says there's no correlation between how much you have and how much life. You've got to make the transition. Otherwise, your decisions will be tainted at best. Now, I want to change gears and show you someone in the Old Testament who he and his people made a change of mentality. And because they made the switch from being owners in mentality to stewards, they were able to accomplish something so absolutely incredible that thousands of years later, even today, people are still talking about what they accomplished. They accomplished something so absolutely incredible that it went and spanned time itself. Let me set the stage. The king is King David. The people are the Israelites. Now, by this time, David had built an incredible kingdom in Israel. But now he's getting older. And it occurs to him that he himself is living in a beautiful palace with granite walls and marble floors, columns that are just beautifully spired with carved stone overlaid with silver and gold. And he walks out onto the lanai and he looks down, and the Ark of the Covenant now, that represents the presence of God, the Shekinah glory that took them through the desert, is still in this tent on the back lot of the palace. in a tent that they drug across the desert for nearly 80 years. Still in the same tent. David says, what am I doing? The people from other nations have built magnificent temples to their false gods. How much more should we build a magnificent temple that'll outstrip anybody's imagination because we serve the true God? Here I am living in this palace, and God's presence, which is represented by the ark, is in a tent we drug across the desert. I can't believe this. So he says, that's it. I know what God wants me to do, and we're going to build this temple just as God is instructing us to do. But even as he begins to build this temple, God sends him a message and says this: you're not going to build a temple, David. Nope. There's too much bloodshed on your hands. You're a warrior king. You cannot build it. It's too holy of a place. So I want your son Solomon to build it. Though he's young and inexperienced, when he grows up, he will build this magnificent temple. Well, the neat thing about David's heart is instead of being discouraged by it, he says, that's fine. Then I'll organize it because it's going to be a huge monumental task. I'll design it and organize it and collect everything necessary. I'll carve the pillars and all the spires. I'll get everything actually calculated. He designs a temple, measured out, cuts it, gets it all ready, puts it in these warehouses so that when his son Solomon grows up, I mean, it's like Lincoln logs all ready to go. All Solomon has to do when he grows up is say, Imua, and whoosh, this thing will just go right up. Now, the incredible thing is this. David spends the later part of his life, here it is, listen, spends the later part of his life getting ready to build a temple that he will never see. He will never serve in. But he spends huge amounts of money and time to prepare for a temple he will never enter. Is that incredible or what? Do you understand the heart of this man? Well, when we enter the story, David has accumulated all the money necessary, and he makes a statement and a prayer that gives us a clue into how they had made that switch, how they viewed what they had in their possession, and how this group was able to break out of the ownership mindset and cause something so powerful to be accomplished that we still talk about it today. It's going to come up on the screens, and let me read it, and you can follow along. 1 Chronicles 29, King David is speaking. Then King David said to the entire assembly, "My son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. Because the temple is not for man, it is for whom? The Lord God. Now," he says, with all my ability, "I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver, the bronze, and the iron, and wood for the things of wood, and all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster in abundance." You see what David said? I am not just going to, it's not about percentages. Now, how much percentage can I give just to keep God happy? What do I have to reach to? Or how little can I give and still have God happy with me so that he'll answer my prayers? How little can I get by with and still be okay and seen as someone not greedy? Now, I don't want to be known as someone greedy. I don't want to step over the line, but I don't mind living as close to the line as I can. No, it was with all my ability. You see, if God, if you can provide this and I use it for your purposes, if you can trust me with this, I know that there's a lot more that you can put into use and effect for the kingdom's purposes if you'll just find faithful people who see themselves not as owners, but as stewards.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Stewards Are Us by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where everyone knows everyone. Your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
No matter where you come from, New Hope Christian College is a place where you can come to find community.
There's a place for you at New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.